if you stand for nothing, you will fall for everything. This actually is important because it is about having a strong belief or value. It suggests that if you don't have a solid foundation or principles, you are more likely to be influenced by others and make bad decisions as you're open to anything. And during the week, this week, the father said there are cracks in the foundation. I said, what? He says, there are cracks in the foundation. And we're going to begin starting talking about having what it means to have a Christ-centered life. Because he says, many people believe many things and not everything they believe lines up with my word. He says, even the things that people are teaching and preaching behind the pulpits throughout the world, there are many things that people are preaching and teaching that do not line up with my word, he says, and I've already demonstrated it. Even when Jesus was on the earth, within a time with the Pharisees and Sadducees, that men have taken things that were originally part of the word of God, and they have begun to add other things to it, and it began to put a crack in the foundation of what they said they originally began to believe. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, what he said started this way, in according to Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to be reading verse 1, and he says this. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each having six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And once one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled or full of his glory. And the post of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken, which the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched thy lips. Your iniquities have been taken away, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with the heart and return and be healed. And you know, many years ago, the Lord brought me to this passage just before I began to be sent out north, south, east, and west to different parts of the states, different parts of Canada, different parts of the world. And this is what he says. He says, who shall I send and who go? And I said, here am I, Lord, send me. And this was the instruction he gave me. Now, at the time when he said that, I didn't quite understand what he meant when he made those original statements. I'm like, Lord, what does that, I mean, I understand what you, that you said something, but I will be honest with you, Father, I don't completely understand what it is that you said. And then years later, he took me to Matthew chapter 10, as you were Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus was just sharing with his disciples the parables of the sower. And he told them, because his disciples had asked him, in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 10, he says, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why do you talk to them in those little short stories? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them it has not been given. Now, what did he say? To you it has been given to know the mysteries, the secrets, the teachings, instructions of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. He says, and then you ask the question, but why was it not given to them? And then he goes on to say, he says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. And listen to this part. He says, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, or do they understand. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, says this, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will not see, you will see and not perceive. Why is it that when Jesus was speaking to them and the disciples could understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but the other people who was listening to the same message in the same group did not receive the same thing that the disciples received? And this is the answer to that question. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. So the answer to the question when the Father was originally saying this to Isaiah, and he says, go and tell this people, and he's actually prophesying what was going to happen when Jesus came on the earth, that he's going to go to certain people and certain people will have ears to hear. Certain people will have eyes to see. Certain people will have hearts that will be open and willing to receive and understand and be healed, set free, delivered, made whole. He says, but then there are other people who will be in the same group who will hear and will hear, but will not be able to have ears, but will not be able to hear, will have eyes, but will not be able to see. And it's not because they didn't have the same opportunity as the other group has, but it's because they have made a conscious heart made decision that they're going to close their eyes. They're going to close their ears, and they're going to harden their hearts to receive when you begin to teach and preach concerning the kingdom of God. And he says, Jesus says to those disciples who had ears to hear, they had eyes to see, and their hearts were open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God. He says, blessed, empowered to prosper are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He says, for surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and to hear and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. In other words, many people desire to receive the very things that was made available to you, but they did not see it and they did not hear it. And he says, and man of God, I want you to tell my people this. He says, except the Lord build your house, except you allow God to build your house. When you labor to build it, and according to Psalms 127:1, he says, when you try to build your own house based off of your own thoughts, your own reasonings, your own arguments, your own theories, he says, except the Lord build your house. When you labor to build it, you labor in vain. He says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, except God be the center, except Christ be the center focus, except he be the one in which you build your life on, unless Jesus is the chief cornerstone of your life, when you try to establish and build your own house, you are laboring in vain. He goes on to say this. He says, it's even in vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For God is the one who gives his beloved sleep. In other words, when you stand up worrying about how you going to pay that bill, how you going to do this, how you going to do that, he says, you are toiling in vain. In other words, you are wasting your time going through all those efforts. He says, when the Father himself gives his beloved sweet sleep. That's a promise that you have from God, that when you allow the Lord to build your house, when you allow Christ to be the center of your life, when you allow him to be the foundation by which your house is built, he says, he gives his beloved sweet sleep. And man, I just want to share with you this morning that it is God's desire for you to have sweet sleep. But the only way you're going to be able to have sweet sleep, resting in his arms, knowing that God has you covered forward, backwards, sideways, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, as Jesus tarries, is when you allow the Lord to build the house. In fact, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, which he has to be the chief cornerstone. Now, what is a chief cornerstone? The chief cornerstone is the chief rock, or the main rock that is set in the foundation of a building, and everything else is built around and on top of that rock. He says, if you try to build your house, build your life, build your marriage, build your career, build your finances, build your church, or anything else other than the chief cornerstone, you will always have cracks in your foundation. Paul says this to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So what does that mean? You mean that little old me is a building, is a part of the building of the Lord Jesus Christ? You got to give me more than that. Paul said this to the church at Rome. He said to them, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 19. Now, let's pause for a second. Let's back up for a second. You got to understand that anytime you get ready to build a house, the most important part of the house when you begin to build it is the foundation. You can have all kind of other materials picked out. You can have all kind of other things in mind. But if you have not chosen the right materials by which to build your foundation, if it's not 100% pure, if it's not sturdy, if it's not the materials have not been tried and tested under fire and have not gone through all kind of testing to make sure that regardless of what the situation, the circumstance of life may come, that when you build your house, when you begin to put all that weight on top of that foundation, if those materials are not solid, if those materials are not correct, when tests and trials and storms will come, your house will begin to fall. Paul actually said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. There was some confusion. There was some strife in the church at Corinth. And you would think it would be because of the teaching, but it was actually because they had their favorite preacher. And Paul simplified it in this. He says, we are all workers of God. We are all God's fellow workers. And you are God's field. And you are God's building. In other words, if they're teaching the word of God, one person might plant the seed. Other people may water the seed. But only God can give the increase when you're teaching and talking about his word. Now, does that mean that you just follow any old body? To the no. I will tell you this myself, even when it comes to myself. I will say, never take the word of a preacher unless he can show it to you in the word. And even after he shows it to you in the word, man, you need to go back. Why? Because you got the 5,000 foot view. You need to get the 5 foot view. What's the 5 foot view? The 5 foot view is when you begin to meditate on that word day and night till you can see yourself physically doing what that word says, that you meditate. He didn't say to memorize. Nowhere do you see in the Bible where it says memorize these words. Meditate means to say it over and over again to yourself. Meditate means that you're thinking about it. And you say, I don't know how to meditate. And I tell you, that is not true, because worry is a form of meditation. Worry means you're pondering and you're thinking about and you're saying over and over and over again what you think might happen, possibly could happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Oh, boo boo might not get his shoe. This might happen. That's not happening. Guess what that's called? Meditation. You're just meditating in the wrong direction. But God says, when you get my word and you begin to meditate on it, pondering it over it, muttering it over to yourself day and night, he says, till you get to the point where you see yourself doing what the word says. He says, and then not only have you meditated on it to the point that you can see yourself do it, then you got to take the next step. You got to do it, because you can meditate on it day and night. You can ponder it over and over day and night. You can see yourself physically doing exactly what it is that the word says that you can do day and night. But until you make the next step and do it, he says, you are deceiving your own self. And according to James chapter 1, he says, you don't be just a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. But people here in the church of Corinth, they are disputing it, and they're in disagreement, and they're bickering back and forth like little children. And Paul says, don't you understand? We are God's fellow workers, but you are God's field. You are God's building. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Did you hear what Paul said? Paul says, I laid the foundation for you. He says, but others will come along and build on that foundation. Did you hear that part? Even though as an apostle, our role is as we lay the foundation, we lay the foundation, and then others are raised up to build on that foundation. He says, but let each one, let each one take heed to pay special attention how you build on that foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he says, regardless of what kind of foundation, what kind of building you're going to put up, the foundation of that building, because remember, you are God's building, and the foundation that every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and whosoever stands behind, preaches and teaches the word of God, the foundation of every house, every one of God's buildings, which you are, if you are in the body of Christ, has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was growing up, I used to think that Christ was Jesus' last name, but it's not his last name. Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus was the man who was born, but Christ was the Son that was given. And we'll talk about that later on in this series. Now, Paul goes on to say, now, if anyone builds on this foundation of Jesus Christ with gold or silver or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So it did not endure the fire. So what happened? Everyone's work. If you build your house, if you build your foundation on Jesus Christ, right? But as you begin to build the house, you use faulty materials. Guess what's happened? When the storms come and the winds blew and beat up on your house, that house is going to come tumbling down. How do you build your house? According to the word of God. How do you build your house? According to the word of God. Why did you say God says there's cracks in the foundation? Because God says this. He says Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he is to be the foundation by which every house, every one of God's houses is to be built. Now, when you're talking about houses, he's not just talking about your physical house. He's talking about you as an individual. Your life should be built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Your house should be built with the materials which are built based off of what the word of God says about it. But if you're using anything else to build that house, if you're using anything else to build your life, if you're using anything else to build God's church, if you're using anything else to build God's people, he says, when the day comes and the tests and trials will come and the fire come, if your house is built on the right materials, it shall endure. But if it's built on the wrong materials, that house will be burnt up. The walls and stuff will be burned up. You yourself will be saved, but your reward shall be small. Why is all this important? Why did you say God says this is there's cracks in the foundation? He gave me this illustration. He says, no, think about it this way. He says, when a person gets ready to get a house, they might have had the house built. but they got to call out the inspector. And the inspector comes out to their house. And when the inspector comes out to the house and everything, he comes in and he walks on the front level, you know, the main level, and he sees all the walls and he sees all the beautiful pictures and he sees all these beautiful structures and he sees all these beautiful designs. Then he goes upstairs and he sees this beautiful foyer and he sees a chandelier and he goes and sees the beautiful washroom. And then he comes downstairs and sees the immaculate kitchen and the special stove. And you know, it all looks beautiful. It's all outstanding. It all looks great. But then what does he have to do? He goes down to the basement. And when he goes down to the basement, he still sees how you got the family room all set up and everything just looks immaculate. And then he begins to do a deeper inspection of what? He's going to inspect the foundation of your home. Now, up to this point, everything is going exactly the way you wanted it to go. Man, you feeling good. You hugging your wife. You kissing your husband. You patting the kids. The dog is running around in circles. You feel great about this inspection. And then he gets to your foundation. And as he's inspecting your foundation, everything seems to be going good. And then he recognizes there's a small crack. And then he goes a little further, glory. And he says, and there's another little small crack. And he goes a little bit further down and he looks and he says, there's an even a larger crack. And then what does he do? The inspector will fail your house, even though up to the point where he saw those small little cracks, the bigger crack, the beautiful family room, the kitchen, the washroom, all those great things, no matter how good it looked on the top. He says, because you have a crack in your foundation, he either got to do one or two things. You either have to repair that foundation or this house will never pass inspection. Why? Because he already knows, because you have cracks in your foundation, that when the storm will come and when the winds will blow, and if that house shifts, your house will come tumbling down. And the Lord said this. He says, in many of my people's lives, he says, there's cracks in their foundations. He says, on the outside to the world, it looks just right. They got the nice house. They got the nice job. It looks like they have, you know, a beautiful wife or husband with three little kids, and they got a dog and a cat and a parakeet who quotes scripture. They got all these things going on. He says, But if you go down into the surface, like he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and if that house is not built on a solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've built that house on anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ, when things come and situations and circumstances will come, then they will be sitting there like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And he says, and that house will come tumbling down. And this is where we're going to stop. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, illustrate this exact thing. And the Lord says, sound the alarm, because there's many houses. There's physical houses. There's your homes. There's even churches all over the world who have cracks in their foundation. And I'm sounding an alarm to give them an opportunity to make a shift and to correct their house. He says this in Matthew 7, 21. He says this, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And have we not cast out devils in your name? And have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And then he will turn and declare to them, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Then he says, as a result of everything that I just said, he says, this is how you fix it. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Didn't you remember? Remember we talked about that earlier? People who might meditate on the word to the point that they can do the word, but then they have to take the next step and do it. He says, this is what I say to those who hear these sayings of mine, and then they do them. He says, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it was founded on the rock. a solid foundation. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not. Remember when we first started, he says, hearing, having ears, you shall not hear, having eyes, you shall not see, having heart, but you don't receive, not because it's not made available to you, but you made a conscious decision to close your eyes, close your ears, harden your heart, and not receive what was being said. Jesus says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, the interesting part about it is both individuals, groups, heard the same word. The only difference between the one group who built their house on the rock and the one who built their house on the sand was one heard it, they received it, they believed it, they began to do it. Are you, what of those groups are you on? Did you build your house on the rock? Did you build your house on the sand? Because the word of God says that Jesus has to be the solid foundation by which you build your house. He has to be the cornerstone by which all houses are built. And you are God's building. And we are God's ministers and wise master builders. And we're going to use the word of God to help you to build your house on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, you have to become a part of the family first. And it's so easy for you to be able to do it. So simple, a child could do it. How do you become a part of the foundation? How do you even become part of become God's building? Well, I'm glad you asked, because in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it answers that question. It says this, it says, but the word of God is near you. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life right now, to become God's building and allow Jesus to be the chief cornerstone in your life, so you can lay a solid foundation upon the Jesus Christ and build your house. Allow God to help you to build your house on the word of God. Now pray this prayer with me. Say it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross. You carried my sins for me. I believe you were put in the grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I'm born again. Right now, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now, I build my house on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Glory to God. Well, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. Welcome you to right standing with God. Welcome you to right position with God. Now, what do you got to do now, man? You got to get into a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that this ministry is such a ministry for that will help you be able to build your house on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. You want to join us here each week, each Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to help you to continue to build your life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And on behalf of Pastor Jordan and the entire Enact Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.